Well, this morning we're going to go back again into our teaching, Be Led by the Spirit. And I entitled it that. Really, I just felt the Holy Ghost speaking it as a command to be led by the Spirit of God. And I spoke about, and many times I've said this, is when I first started off as a Christian, just as young Christian, only Christian for a couple months, and had gotten a tape series. The Lord told me to get the tape series at that time from Kenneth E. Hagin on how to be led by the Spirit of God. And I got that series, and when I went to listen to the second tape, I mean, to me, it's just like it happened yesterday. I can just remember it. It's just so clear. I remember going to that tape player and putting that tape in, and when I closed it, before I pushed the button, the Spirit of the Lord rose up in me on the inside and said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you're going to amount to nothing as a Christian. And I thought, well, that's pretty subtle. I mean, I better learn this thing. I better find some. And I don't know about you. I haven't arrived yet. I mean, there's things I've sure learned about it, and we're going along. It's one of the things as we go over and teach in these things, especially in these areas. I always go back over my Christian walk because you got to develop in these areas. If as long as a person can't be led by the Spirit, they can't develop spiritually. If you can't be led by the Spirit, it is impossible to grow up spiritually. That's why the church world in general is all babies. Generally, most everybody's baby Christian. You know, the Lord spoke to me about some years ago, spoke to me about development in the church. And he said, he talked about, and spoke to me about developing, about dealing with me about developing spiritually. And he talked to me about different groups of people within the church and where people are in the church. And he spoke to me, he said, there is a very small percentage. He said there's only about 3 or 4% of our Christians that actually have developed into a mature Christian. So he spoke to me and said, "It's why, because people get over, you know, people get out of the babyhood stage. What happens is people start developing in things of God, and they get complacent because things start going pretty good. You just want to stay there, but they don't go on to where they could go. You know, it's sort of like Mike talking about a pilot. You know, training a pilot. You know, a person learns maybe to fly a plane some and solo, and they get happy. May I just go out here and solo? But there's more beyond that. You might want to fly something else someday. You know, everybody's just sort of like, this makes me happy at this time, and this is where I sort of want to stay at. And people get happy at that spot. Well, I'm enjoying myself here. But you know, it's like one of those things, a guy gets up there and he's just his little old solo flyer, and he gets out there and he's not instrument rated and that stuff, and one day he has a problem. And so what they do is they get the coffin out and bury him. Because he hasn't learned enough to deal with a lot of situations. And so everything is really nice and going along and in life really good, and this is what happens to people. They don't develop, so something really serious comes along and happens, they can't handle it. And what goes wrong is the fact that people end up with a major problem and they don't know how to deal with it. And that's when they start to want to, you know, they don't really develop in the areas of healing till the cancer comes and the doctor says we can't do anymore. And all of a sudden, let's get the prayer meetings gone and let's get the Bible out and start reading healing scriptures. Well, generally, it's too late. Most of the time, it's too late. Because the person can't get themselves over into it. They're in the middle of a battle. It's hard to do. It's like I said, when a hurricane comes, is not the time you wait till the 90 mile an hour wind hits and say, let's get the plywood out and put it over the windows. You know, you walk out with a sheet of plywood and they'll pick you up in the next county. That's what happens. And so this is why there's a preparation. So you learn and you develop as you go along. And that's what God wants us to do. And we've been looking at some of these scriptures. We had some specific scriptures we were looking at. I'm not going to go back through all of them. We had from Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And we just said this. It doesn't matter. A person gets born again is a child of God, but they never live like a child of God. Never live like they are God's child. They may not do any better in life than the world does who has never gotten saved. There's many people out here who have gotten born again. And really, from a Christian perspective, a spiritual perspective, they have never risen above where they were when they weren't born again. They stay in that same place. They think the same thoughts. They still do the same old things. They still respond to problems. You know, they talk about, oh, we pray and we ask God. Well, but they know nothing about how to get a prayer answered. You know, they just pray. Everything's a shot in the dark. You know, we're going to take a shot at this thing and see if we can get. Sometimes God answers prayer. Sometimes He don't. Sometimes this, sometimes that. And so they get into that thinking. But as many as are led by the Spirit, you can begin to live like you're a son of God. You know, you want any parents, you know, you want your children to live a good life. If you don't, there's something wrong with something between your ears, or you got a really bad heart. You're devilish. You want your children to live better. So it is that desire. Well, God wants His children to live a better life. He wants them. He don't want them to stay on the level where they started out. He wants them to develop. God lives good. God don't have problems. He overcomes in anything that would come against His kingdom. It hasn't thrown Him off. And He wants you to be able to live like He lives. He wants you to be blessed. He's your Father. And so He wants you to live that way. We found out in Romans 8 verse 16 said, "For the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God." And we talked about the fact that you know that you're a child of God by the witness of the Holy Ghost in you. That's how you know it. You know it by the witness of the Spirit. You know, it ain't just words on a page. It needs to become real to you. You come in contact with the inner man, the real you. You have the witness in you. The witness in you is the Holy Ghost bears witness in you that you're the child of God. You need to come in contact with the Holy Spirit. Most Christians never get in contact with the Holy Spirit. In fact, most churches, if you talk about hearing from God, they'll make fun of you. You know, it's like, "Oh, he's always talking about hearing from God." It troubles me. I don't hang around with ministers who don't like God talking to you, don't believe in that stuff. You know, "Well, maybe God talked to you sometime," but you hear from God too often. If you don't hear from God often, you got a problem. God lives in you and you don't hear Him often, something's wrong. You want to hear Him often. That's why developing to be led by the Spirit, you'll learn how to hear God. You want to learn. I don't know about you. I want to learn how to hear God. I want to know, you know, it's like Mike's talking, you know, the Holy Ghost, he's reading the Word and he tells him, "Now go on and read from there." Well, you know, God wanted to talk to him to go on to something. You know, if you can't hear from God, you know what you do? You go on to what you like to read. And you don't ever read that other stuff you need. And I tell you, most preachers are in that category today. They're just preaching what they like to hear and what they think people like to hear to keep everybody happy, because you don't get over and talk about things. God chastens anybody. "Oh no, that don't happen today. Oh no, we didn't chase, God don't chasten nobody." You know. No, we don't read that. That ain't edifying. It's edifying to me. I know God loves me so much, He'll correct me. He won't let me, he's not interested in Ed going off a path, getting into the same hell he lived in without him. So he corrects me to keep me out of trouble. Hallelujah. He's a good God. And I don't know, I needed some correction and still do, you know. Hallelujah. So we went look at Proverbs, and Proverbs 20:27, that verse said, "The spirit of man's the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward depths of the heart." We talked about that, the fact that God enlightens us through our spirit, through the inner man. That's how God enlightens us. That's how God talks to us, reveals Himself to us. And so, in that way, God shows Himself. And so I wanted, though, this morning, I was reading over some things and asking the Lord where He wanted me to go with it this week, because I've made no pre-made plans of how I'm going to teach this thing. I didn't feel I was supposed to, so I didn't do it. And so last night I was just sitting reading over some things and looking at some things in scriptures. And one of the things, we did talk, and we had looked over in John the 4th chapter where the woman at the well of Samaria is one of the things that the Lord said to her, speaking to her that worship was from the heart. That worship, He taught God, we worship in the Spirit. That's how God is worshiped, in the Spirit. It's what is done in the Spirit. We could sing songs and do all kinds of stuff, and just because we sing songs and they're nice words, that don't mean it's in the Spirit. That don't make it in the Spirit. You can memorize or do anything from your head. You need to understand, there's a total difference. God delivered and saved man's heart or his spirit, not his head. It's our job to renew our minds, and He sure wants us to have a renewed mind. But God wants your heart. That's what He wants. He wants your heart. He wants you to be led by the Spirit. In other words, your spirit, your heart, led by Him, not led by your head out here. And this is what most people do, what seems good to their head. Even scripturally, they'll go get, you know, what their idea or what they think's going on, and they follow it. They don't listen on the inside. And they don't look at, well, what does God want? Say, well, this is what I'd like. Well, there's a lot of things I'd like, and I found over time the things that I liked weren't always what turned out to be the best for Ed. Well, the Holy Ghost knows what's in the long run is going to work best for you. Sometimes, you know, we look at a thing as a goal to have, and it might be a good goal, but sometime getting there, we pick the wrong path if we choose it ourselves. And things don't turn out the way we would like them. And this is why I've learned you have to walk by faith. You might know the end of what God wants. I used to look at that as God would show me things about the future. He's done that many times. He's shown me things about the future, and I think, you know, I'd start thinking how I was going to get there. Well, no, you got to get over to let Him take you there. This is where the faith walk comes from. See, well, I know where He wants me to go, and what He wants me to do is focus on that part, where He showed me where He's going to go, how I'm going to get there. He'll show me how to walk, because it's a faith walk. Not everybody will go the same walk to get to the same place. And so we need to understand that it's not some canned thing. Many people have made the Bible into nothing but a religious book by just making it a canned thing. You know, I've just, you know, down here and the Bible says this, so that is always what we do. Well, the Bible says many things and people did many things many different ways. And so we have to find out, what's the path God has for me? What does He want me to do? You know, there might be areas that I am more proficient in the Word than I am in others. This is what, God's not going to always lead you in the path that you're proficient at. You need to understand that, because He wants you to train and learn in other areas. See, most people always keep doing things the same way that they're good at. And you need to learn this. The Holy Ghost don't lead that way. The Holy Ghost wants you to develop, and He'll lead you into paths sometimes that are different and harder. Well, the reason they're hard for you is because you don't know how to walk there. But you need to develop there, where you learn how to operate in that area. If you don't let Him take you there, if you don't let Him go there, you always just want to do it the same old way. Well, then you're going to end up stuck. There's areas that you won't develop in. There's areas you won't go. I learned in things. God took me into areas that were uncomfortable. This is where most people turn around and they start backing off from things. Every time they come up to a certain point in their life where God wants to deal with them a certain thing, and that's all, well, no, they back off. They back off and let's go over here and do this instead. They'll say, you know, I believe God wants me to do this. And they go over and find out it ain't so easy. Well, then let's go do something else. Let's go over here. This seems easier. But God was leading him into that. God's not going to always lead you on the easy path. You know, your kids in school, this is one of the things is why we have so many kids in schools today that don't know nothing, is because they're always trying to lead kids an easy path, trying to teach them the way the kid wants to be taught. Well, it ain't going to work. We're trying to keep them happy all the time and don't want them to... I'm going to tell you, last I learned is, you know, school is supposed to be a place of training. And training means, you know, that you got to do things that you didn't do before. And doing things you didn't do before makes you uncomfortable. That's why so many people in America, we hate change. We don't like our government, but we keep voting the same kind of idiots in all the time. It's our fault. It's because we refuse to change. It ain't them not changing. It's us not changing. If we would change, we wouldn't have voted for them. But we keep voting them back in because we hate change. It's the same thing with God. God tries to lead us into something new. We hate change. No, I'm going to go do it the way I did it before. I'm going to go back over to this. And see, we need to understand this. And God had to get me over in the area. He had to really get me over in the area to learn me. And I'm much better about change than I was. You know, much better at it. It's like changes. My confession is change is good. And sometimes I just go, God, let's just change what we're doing. Just why? Because I don't want to get in a rut. You're doing the same thing always the same way all the time. You know, like Ken Copeland used to say, you know what? A rut was just a grave with the ends kicked out. That's all it is. And people are in ruts in their lives. They're in a rut because they just keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's the fear of change because it requires faith to change. And faith deals with a realm that people don't like to go to. It's called the unseen realm. That's the place of faith. It's the unseen realm. That's the place of the Spirit. You'll never learn to be developed in the areas of being led by the Spirit if you're afraid to walk in the unseen realm. You can't ever go there. You can't go there. You can't go there because sometimes, I'm going to tell you, most of the time my feelings are totally opposite of the way of that Rome's moving. Of what's going, my feelings are totally different to it. What I sense would be the thing to do is not in line at all with what it is, because, you know, you get over that unseen. See, we don't like the unseen because we lose control. See, faith is about people talking, well, I tell you, I'm just trusting the Lord. And many times people say, I'm trusting the Lord, and really, they ain't trusting much at all. They're trusting what they know and see and think. But if you, they got into the spot where they're blind, they ain't going there. I like to have some kind of control over this thing. You know, God had to deal, I remember starting off as a Christian, God dealing with Wanda and I concerning money. That was a biggie for me, you know, because I was always a guy that, I wasn't a giver. That wasn't me. And all of a sudden you have this desire to give and you want to do these things. You know they're in them. But all of a sudden, you know, I'm talking to God about it. I wanted to learn this thing and how to do it. You know, and one day he asked me to give away, at the time, all the money we had. I want you to give it away. I'm going to tell you what. My flesh was talking to me about other things. And if I'd listened to 99% of Christians, I'd have never done it. I'd have listened to 99% of Spirit-filled Christians, I'd have never done it. If I'd listened to them. Because they'll talk you right out of it. Because why? Well, God would never ask you to do that. Well, then you don't know. I just said they don't know God. God will ask you a lot of things. One of the things, when you ask God, it's like Mike said this morning, when you ask God to take you somewhere, someplace, you know what he's going to respond to you? He's going to find out if you really meant it. You're going to find out. God, I really want to grow spiritually. Gee, things are getting tough now. I don't understand what's going on. Am I out of the will of God? No, God's trying to take you someplace spiritually. You ask for it. You want to go. Why? He's going to lead you in areas where there has been opposition to you to growing. And he's going to take you that area so you can grow. He's going to take you to that. He's not going to keep you outside of it and hidden. Now let's go over to John this morning, the Gospel of John, to the third chapter. I want to read over here. There was a scripture I was going to you, and I got over in reading this, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about some things, and so I want to go back in and read. We're going to start at the beginning of the chapter. One of the things that we talked somewhat of this in our past teaching, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me. One of the greatest problems that we have in the church world is why people don't grow up spiritually. Is most of Christians, and even Spirit-filled Christians, are totally identified with the world. They identify themselves with the world. They don't see who they are. We talk about, you know, we make statements about what we are as a Christian. But it's a whole different thing to believe it. You can understand this. You can tell by what you believe by what you do. You don't tell what you believe by what you say. You need to understand that. You don't tell. You can say you believe anything. I'll tell you whether you believe. I'm along with James. James says, I'll check your works out and I'll tell you what you believe. And I believe that 100%. See, it doesn't matter. Faith is totally... Speaking words are totally worthless if one doesn't follow their word. It's worthless. It doesn't mean a thing. You know. It wouldn't make... And, you know, if a man said to a wife, I love you. Now I'm going to go see my girlfriend. Okay? Now, does he love her? Most of Christianity said, well, the person said it, so that's what... Yeah, they said that. So, you know, they love them. You know, that's what people talk. People don't get it. Christians must identify with the Word of God. They must identify with what God says you are. If you're going to succeed to walk in the Spirit, you must know who you are. You got to know it. Start to live like you are. Most of this is why it's today. We have slowly, you know, I remember the things that were taught, you know, back in the 80s of who we are in Christ. We slowly started moving this thing out to where in the 90s we started shifting. The teaching started to shifting. And, you know, they wanted to get evangelistic, but they didn't get evangelistic. What they got is they got the church to be more like the world, and the church became to reach the world. How can we keep them happy and things and stuff to reach them? And what they did is we got to identify with them. It ain't hard for me to identify. I was a sinner once. I don't need to study the Bible to find out I was an ignorant idiot. But I know this. You don't quit being an idiot and ignorant by communicating and hooking up and believing like the world believes and start messing around with their stuff. A Christian, if a Christian's going to develop spiritually and learn to walk in the Spirit, they have to know who they are. You've got to know who you are, because you can't walk by faith any other way. You must see yourself. Now, here in John, in the Gospel of John, 3rd chapter, I'm going to start verse 1. It says, there was a man who was of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God's with them. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Isn't it interesting? I always thought this was, I always looked at this. This guy comes and he introduces himself. He was Nicodemus. Hey, I know you're a teacher from God. Jesus' reply to him ain't got nothing to do with what he said. Jesus goes right and hits on a point. See, and this is why I know Jesus didn't have a seeker-friendly church. Because this would never be a seeker-friendly sermon. You'd never say anything like this to somebody. Oh, you'd never do that. No, we got to ease this thing in. Make them feel it's okay to be a sinner. We'll slowly ease them in. He points to the guy, points him right out. What does he do it for? Because this is one of the things that we need to know. Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. This guy is a Pharisee. He is the word person. He's a word person of the day. He would be one of the word people. That's who he would be. And Jesus is going to show him he don't know nothing. Jesus is going to show him he don't know nothing. I don't know if Jesus has ever shown you that I don't know that you don't know nothing, but he's done to me that to me a number of times. Show me the areas I didn't know anything. I'm talking to him about one thing and he comes over and just bluntly talks about another, and I say, oh, okay, all right, best better go over there. Get this straight. But so Jesus bluntly speaks to him and says, Jesus answered, said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. We need to understand this. He's making a statement here to him. And we need to get a hold of this. A person cannot see the kingdom of God unless... In other words, when he's talking about here seeing the kingdom, he's talking about being a part of the kingdom. He's talking about being in this kingdom. In other words, you've got to come into the kingdom through the new birth to be able to see the kingdom. You can't comprehend the kingdom any other way. The kingdom cannot be taught to sinners. An impossibility. It can't be taught to sinners. Impossible. If you got to get born again to see it, how are you going to teach it to them? I want to know how you're going to do that. See, we get sinners born again. But understand this. He made the statement, you had to be born again. Jesus told him. Now, you know, some translations say born from above or whatever else. Well, we need to understand, Jesus is talking about a birth that has to take place. And we know that for sure because Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So another, Jesus makes a statement, a spiritual statement, and here's a man who's a Pharisee. He's a ruler of Israel. This guy's supposed to be the top of the spiritual people, and his response to Jesus is carnal. It's carnal. It's a carnal response. See, he thinks Jesus, you know, and I've noticed this. I've watched this lately. You know, many ministers teach on a carnal level. That's, they don't teach on spiritual level. They teach carnal. And most people like that. A lot of people's favorite preachers are pretty carnal. They teach on a carnal level. They teach, well, that people say, oh, well, he's teaching where life really is. You want your life to change, you better learn some spiritual things. Because if you're just taught how life really is, good luck. See, most teaching is on the carnal level. It's not. Jesus ain't talking to this guy. Jesus, this guy comes along, he's supposed to be a guy who knows spiritual things, and Jesus is pointing out to him, you don't know a thing. You went to all your school and all your listening. You've been listening to the top guys and your, you know, the duty, and you don't know a thing because it's all carnal. It's important. But we know this. He understands the fact that Jesus is talking about a birth. Now he says, now can I go back and be born into the earth? Jesus isn't talking about it. In other words, this man didn't see his spiritual need. He didn't see his spiritual need. See, it's number one, this is why we got to minister to people on a spiritual level, because it's number one, most people in lots of times in ministry don't even touch on the things a person's spiritual need. What we do today is, you know, the reason you need Jesus, he'll fix your marriage or he'll do this. People don't even see their spiritual need. Oh, he's going to fix your problems. Jesus can fix all your problems and you end up in hell. That's going to work out great, ain't it? Not a great life on the earth, but now it's eternity in hell. Boys, it is good. See, it's the spiritually. You need to understand this about it. Your spiritual need is the greatest thing that you got. Your need of things in the spirit are the greatest need that you have. It's not you call your problems fixed. You can't ever keep no problems fixed if you don't get changed spiritually. It ain't working. You'll be back in the same mess all over again. Folks, I know. I'm not talking to you about something I don't know about. I know about it. I live it, you know. And I know if I don't deal with things from the spiritual side and get things corrected, then over on the natural side, the same stuff keeps coming around. I've watched this over the years with Christians I know. I'm not speaking to anybody generally here or anything, but I've watched people. I can tell you every year they go through the same cycles of the same problems and everything over the same year all the time. Because they never change spiritually. They never deal with those areas of their life spiritually. And you know what? It always comes around again and comes around again and comes around again. Always does. You see, you have to learn that. It's why you can't fix it. They'll do things in the natural that might, you know, comfort them for a time and help some things out for a time. But you can't keep things permanently fixed if you don't deal with the core of the problem. And there's this guy called the devil. If you don't deal with what he's doing and you don't know how to respond to it, he'll be back. He'll be back. So you have to learn how to deal with things spiritually. You must. And so Jesus is responding to this man. This guy, he wants to know about getting born. Jesus makes a statement, verse 5, he says, and Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." See, you know, Jesus is talking about two births. In other words, he's talking about a human being. He's dealing with it from a human standpoint, but he's telling this, you can't enter, as a human, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You can't come to the place unless you're born of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. See, Jesus is trying to show this guy needs a spiritual change. God wants to bring a spiritual change. This is what we do. It's like, look in our nation. Most of the time, people are praying about physical things all the time. You need to understand your spiritual need. If you don't, you're always going to be asking God for the wrong stuff. You know, people, and I need another car. You may need a car. But if you don't get your life straightened out, the devil will probably steal that one from you. You'll end up losing your job and not having any money, knowing how to do. You know, you got to get over thinking right. You got to get over the spiritual need. I'm glad, you know, God didn't take me, you know, and I got saved and then just gave me a whole bunch of stuff, did all kind of crazy things. He taught me to grow into things. That's what you want to do. See, a lot of people, you know, they want to come in the kingdom and get a jet tomorrow, you know. They want to have, you know, about a mansion and all that kind of stuff. Well, it don't work. Because if you don't develop, if you don't grow, the devil will take it all. You know, I've watched Christians and they do all they did to go to prosper and then they live like hell. I remember Christopher Long talking about God showed him a vision of rich Christians. People that live out through our counties here and talked about how messed up they are serving their money and how, you know, how they use their money to manipulate other people. Oh yeah, loads of it goes on. And God told him, God detests them. That's what he told him. He detests these people. God does. Christians, and he detests them. I didn't
think God would do that. I heard he loved everybody. And it don't matter what they did.
He detests them. God hates what they do. And so I don't want to grow up be like that, do you? And then they run around and talk about their wealth as it's God's blessing. No, it's the devil's making sure they keep a lot because they just keep acting evil with it. There's plenty of people got money it's because they're evil. Hallelujah. Good preaching anyhow. So this kingdom, he said, you can't enter. In other words, this kingdom cannot be entered unless there's a spiritual change. Unless there's a spiritual change. Now, Jesus went on to say, he said, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit, spirit. So you have to know the difference. You need to know the difference between your flesh and your spirit. You need to know the difference. You need to understand the difference by what's going on in your flesh and what's going on in your spirit. You need to know. If you can't figure that one out, you're going to have a problem. And then Jesus makes this statement. He says, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must." He didn't say, "If you lack two, you get born again." He said, "You must be born again." Understand this. The new birth is a must. This term is not liked much in the church anymore. In fact, most even word churches don't even hardly talk to use the word being born again and different things. They try to come across with different things and different ideas, you know. Why? Because the world will turn around, and I don't like your cliche anymore. I don't like the way you say that. I want it said another way. And the church says, "Yes, Master, I'll serve you. What do you want? What do you want me to say to you? You're my Lord now." We need to preach the word to people. Jesus Christ said you must be born again. If there's not a spiritual, he said you must. He didn't say it was something, an idea. It's just like he told the woman at the well of Samaria, you must worship God in spirit and truth. He used the word must there. He didn't say it was a good idea or it was a suggestion. Or you just, you know, you need to worship God earnestly. No, you know those statements, I get sick of hearing these people talk about how you ought to worship God. I read what the books say, how I must worship Him. It didn't say earnestly. It says from your spirit. That's how you do it. That's a must. You can be earnest and totally wrong. You worship God in out of your spirit, you got it right. You do what you do from your heart, you got it right. We add all this other stuff in and throw all this kind of stuff in and throw things in to make it, you know, all of this. And people, you know, there's loads of people out here. You know, they earnestly do all kinds of things. And they're totally out of the will of God. Get around. We must be born again. Now, you need to understand this. We're dealing in a world. You live in a world where you are a minority. And you need to, if you don't understand that, you think you're like everybody else. You think, I'll tell you, you're not going to go very far spiritually. You're not going to go for it. If you're born again, you are in the kingdom of God. You can see the kingdom of God. You're a minority. You're not like everybody else. You need to identify with the kingdom and quit identifying with the world. People put, you know, their bumper sticker on, you know, "I'm not perfect, I'm forgiven." They just showed that they probably aren't even born again if that's their belief. They don't identify. They identify with sin. They identify that they're more of a sinner than they are a saint. So that's their broadcast to the world. I live like hell, but I'm forgiven. They don't identify as being into the kingdom of God. See, they'll sit in a church that preaches, you know, "Well, I'm an old sinner saved by grace. And I'm just still the sinner." That person is not going to learn to be led by the Spirit of God because they're identified with the world. They believe that the flesh is going to dominate them and rule them. That's what they believe. They believe, "I haven't gotten any better. This new birth don't do much at all." See, they don't identify. You're a child of God. You're in the kingdom of God. You need to identify with that. Now, look, I'm not going to say some of these things to make you big-headed. It's to give you a big heart. If you don't develop a big heart, you're always going to be lacking in faith. You develop a big heart so you can believe God big. So you can have confidence in God big. It isn't about, you know, "I'm special." You know, there's a whole difference. Today they teach all these kids, "Oh, you're special." No, you're not. A bunch of them are idiots and they ain't special to nothing. But we're telling people they're special when they ain't special to anything. And that's all about the flesh. But you need to understand, this is not a lie or anything. You're a child of God. You have been born again. You are in the kingdom of God and you can see the kingdom. That's what you're designed to do. See, and any Christian goes along and says, "I read the Bible, I just don't get much out of it." They're really talking like, "I'm just a worldly person. I can't see the kingdom. I look in the Bible and the Bible's dark to me." Well, then get saved. You've never passed from death unto life. You've never come to light. The reason they don't is by their voice. Their voice keeps talking and saying, "I'm just like the world. I just, you know, this is me. I got saved, but I'm just the same old dumb person I was." They don't identify to who they are. You need to understand. You know, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Well, then you ain't just some old dumb person. You need to identify who and what you are. You cannot grow beyond who you believe you are. Impossible. You will never grow beyond who you believe you are. You know, it's like you can be in a rich family, but you believe you're poor and you ain't got no money to spend. You won't be spending no money and you live like you're poor, you know. I know people got money and they live like they're poor because they talk their poverty all the time. Oh man, I can't spend them. I got to keep my money. I can't do this. And so they could live a good life and they don't. See, if you don't change the way you think, you know, no matter how much blessing God gives us, no matter how much He has for us to have, if I live under the mentality that I don't have, that's the way it's going to be. See, people are always trying to, well, if I attain to a certain thing, then I can get it. No, it all starts with knowing who you are. If I know who I am, then I can attain it. If I'm a child of God, Jesus said, I could ask the Father anything in His name and He'd give it to me. Well, most Christians don't believe that at all. Most spiritual Christians don't believe that at all. We'd never do some of the things or act the way we do about it. It's because we don't know who we are. You know, you go out here, some family, some real rich family out here and that stuff, you know, the kid wouldn't think twice about the fact that their dad would buy him a Mercedes to drive around in. Wouldn't think twice about it. You know, they're driving the newest BMW in town. I would just be a norm. Oh, Christians, dear Lord, my God. Your car's going to at least have to be 20 years old. The tire's worn out on the thing, and I mean, God will give it to you if you get good enough one day. But if you probably end up with something real nice, call it because you stole it. I don't. But see, people get over it and you're thinking, but hold it, we need to understand this. Over in the area in our thinking when it comes to the spiritual side, most Christians don't see who they are spiritually. They don't have no clue. We talk, we use the terms born again, but they're more cliche than they are actual belief. Because you can tell by what people do to whether they really believe that. Do they really believe they're a child of God? Do they really believe? Do you really believe you're in the kingdom? See, we're trying to get some great theology out here that we want some great message and get this great revelation out here. Most people don't know the little revelations that change your life. God changed my life listening to Kenneth Hagin because he talked about these things of who you really are, what you are. It's because of what God made me in Christ Jesus that I can ask God for anything in Jesus' name. That's why. If you don't know who you are. See, most people really don't identify themselves as being a child of God and in God's kingdom. They don't really see that as God as their father. They think He's Father God. Some out there somewhere. He's not really a father. They're not really His child. They treat God in prayer and even talk to God in prayer like they're asking a stranger to do something for them. Most people, I will tell you what, if most spirit-filled Christians ever heard me talking to God the way I do sometimes, they would totally say that I was a heretic. I talk to God like He's my dad. Many times I've stood and said, God, Your word says this or says that. This is what You said. If it don't turn out that way, God, You'd be a liar. See, now it's and I'll say to God, now my daddy can't lie. It's an impossibility. So you're going to have to do that. And I just want to thank You. I know You will. Now most people, oh dear God, would You please? They treat Him like He's not dead. They're treating Him like He didn't say it. Because why? They don't know that they're really a child of God. Oh, they'll talk around and say, oh, I'm a child of God. I'm born again. Get that bumper sticker that says, I'm just a sinner forgiven. You know, just go get that one. I'll be real humble and show the world what an idiot I am. I'll show you I didn't change. I'm going to keep sinning. See, we need to get away from these things. We need to, the world, it's one thing that's about as I look at the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we see a people that the world knows is different. There are people who know God. You know what happens when the disciples showed up and the Sanhedrin called them in because they were, you guys are out here preaching stuff's happening, using that name of Jesus. It said they recognized they had been with Jesus. Most of the world today wouldn't even know that the majority of the church ever even heard anything about God. Much less been with Him. We need to understand what happens. It's why it's the portrayal of our lives. We live just like they do. We think and act just in a sense, many ways, like they do. We look at ourselves like we're them. We expect in life what they end up with. You know, the flu season comes. Well, I gotta watch it, man. You just never know. And they live in the same fears. They live in the same worries and anxieties. You know, the doctors say, well, you know, a certain percentage, you know, if granny had cancer, you're gonna probably end up with it too. And 99% of Christians believe that. They follow the same things in the world. They talk the same things. They don't believe they've become somebody different in themselves. They believe they're just in the same old sinners. What the sinners get, we get. See, don't mind it. It doesn't surprise me at all that doctors do studies and find that out, because they're dealing with mostly either sinners or unbelieving Christians. So the devil is going to dominate, and what granny had is going to show up in your house, because the same devil that got granny is going to get you, because you believe in it. You believe that same devil is allowed to come over and do that to you. And we call it genetics. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of genetics in the devil. You know, well, I'll tell you, I'm going to have it. Well, we have diabetes runs in our family. Yes, it bypassed mine. I said, you're heading on down the road. You're going to go someplace else. You ain't coming here. That devil ain't living in my house. You know, he runs in the family. Well, you know, it's genetic. Well, doc, do you want me to agree you're going to get it? Because if I use my faith, you will. Did that one time to a woman who was spirit filled. I don't know what spirit she had, but she'd always time wait till church and wait till everybody was in. She'd run in and park in a handicapped parking space. This happened in Rhema. So Pastor Hagen, you know, wanted her out of that spot. She kept doing it. So the one Tony Cook, who was one of the associate pastors, came, Ed, you need to talk to that lady. See, they'd send me out for people to talk to them, because most people just check it in, won't say nothing to anybody, you know. So I walked out there. She came in, and church has already started. She comes in, parks in the handicapped spot. I walked out and opened the door of the car for her, helped her out. And I said, ma'am, would you like to pray for me that you're going to actually need this spot? She looked at me, got in, closed her door, and drove away and never parked there again. You know, see, we need to live lives. We need to live lives. And live lives like what we say we are, we believe that we are. You know, it's not just, we can get over, we can read the scriptures and we read them through and we know what they say, like the words that are said, but it isn't really what we believe. It's not really what I believe. So you need to come to the place that you were born again. You became a different spiritual being. And you need to understand this. I want you to go to Romans, the 8th chapter, because we want to look. I'm going to read down some things in Romans 8 again. We're going to go back down through, go back to the beginning of the chapter. I want you to see some things, because it talks. You need to see something. The Apostle Paul wrote numbers of things about who the Christians are and what we are. And you need to see something, because if you don't see who you are, you'll never grow in the area of the Spirit. You'll just identify with, you know, everything else around you. And it just seems to me that the church world's doing that. We're trying to reach out to the world. You know, the world's looking to space aliens. You know why the world has this bit today? They're always looking to space aliens, because they want something supernatural. The church ain't got nothing to offer. Well, these things that happened here on the earth, they must have been happened by somebody from space, because Christianity couldn't believe anything had happened. Dear Lord. Why? I'm going to tell you, I'm an alien. I am an alien. Now, because you're born again, you're supposed to be, but most people aren't. I'm an alien. I'm different. Haven't you noticed? See, we're supposed to be aliens. We're called that in Scripture. Now, we're trying to be like everybody else. I'm sorry. I'm an alien. I'm only here for a time, as it is. I am not of this world. I'm not. Now see, I believe that. That's why this carrying on and what they do, it ain't on my planet. Heaven ain't got none of this nonsense going on. The realm of the Spirit, the kingdom that I belong to, has none of this nonsense going on. The reason so much of it goes on is because the church identifies more with the nonsense than they do with the kingdom. That's our identity. Our identity. We're just trying to be like everybody else. You know, you are an alien. I don't know. None of you have bulgy big eyes or whatever they show them. But you're an alien. But you know what? You can actually become it. Now look, the Bible calls you an ambassador of Christ is number one. We should live different and we should have and our lives should be different from this name. People should see that there's blessing in our lives that others do not have. That's why I just detest a lot of these bumper sticker things they put. They're bad news. They're terrible things. They're awful witnesses to the world. And they ain't nothing but some foreign religion because it ain't Christianity. I don't care if a Christian puts it on there, it ain't what they're preaching ain't Christianity. What we need to preach is a gospel that's true. Men must be born again, Jesus Christ said so. There's no other way into the kingdom. If they don't get born again, I'm going to tell you what, they will be in hell. Somebody don't like to hear that? That's too bad. It's the truth. It's the truth. We need to understand. People need to understand it. They got to get born again, not just walk around. Well, I believe in Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, and their life is like they never, ever even came close to knowing who He was. Now, in Romans 8, said this. Now, understand, Romans 8 is a chapter that Paul, and actually it was part of a letter, but in Romans 8 is speaking to Christians about who they are. It's about who we are spiritually. It's what we've become. Now, Romans 8, the first chapter says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk, those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, the last part of that verse, actually in the oldest Greek text, it's not even in there. It was added. But it is true. It's a truth. And I think they put it in there to clarify. They probably put it in to clarify. But I think the rest of the writing clarifies it pretty much itself. But it says, in other words, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. He says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's one thing you need to understand this. If you walk by the flesh, you will feel in condemnation. You will. You'll be in condemnation. I've heard preachers say, oh, no Christian should ever be condemnation. If you can live in the flesh and not have condemnation, if you can do that, I'm going to tell you the Bible's a downright dirty lie. You ain't ever been changed. See, this bit people say, well, I just feel so condemned. Well, if you're sinning, you're supposed to. The Holy Ghost don't condemn you. Your own heart does. Your heart, it's supposed to do that. That's our safeguard. There's nothing wrong with that. If I do wrong and my heart condemns me, that's good. That's the red light goes on. Stop, stop, stop. That's good. There's nothing bad about that. That's a sign of being born again. Because we want to find as we go on down through here, he's going to differentiate between the world and the church. Too much of the church has identified these scriptures that some of this stuff that's really speaking geared toward the world, they identify it toward themselves. It's not. He's going to go on here. He says, listen, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? It has made me. It didn't say it's going to make you. When you got born again, you became free of the law of sin and death. Anything, if you go back over and read Deuteronomy 28, what was under the law and the curse, you have already been freed from all that. You are never going to be made free of that. You've already been done it. Jesus Christ already took your sicknesses. He's already took your first. He's not going to do that. That's like asking Jesus to take your sin. He's already done that. See, you need to identify. See, if we identify like the world does, the world goes along and tries to get off of them whatever got on them that they don't like. And they identify the fact, you know, and really Christianity basically teaches the fact, you know, that, well, you get sick and you got to get God to heal you. No, God's already healed you. God's already done it. Jesus already took your infirmities. He already bore your sickness. Did you ever notice 1 John 1:9? He said, you know, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He didn't say, ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Did He say that there? That's what everybody believes. That's where they act like it is. He said, no, you confess what you did wrong. Why? Because God actually forgave everybody their sin. It's a matter of we get cleansed from it by confessing what we did. Not asking Him to forgive us. He'd automatically forgive you if you confess what you did. Why? Because Jesus took your sin. But see, the church world preaches it different. Why? Because we are identified with the world. We're identified with the world. We don't identify ourselves with Christ. We don't identify ourselves, the Bible said, seated in heavenly places. Now we're down here and one day we're going to be seated in heavenly places. Well, if you don't get it now, you ain't getting it then. You get in heavenly places right now or you end up in hell. You get born again, you get seated on the seat. It ain't going to happen. You know, it's just like in the funerals. They, oh, you know, now they entered into their eternal life. If you didn't get eternal life now, you don't get it once you croak. It's why? Because the church is identified with the world. They're not identified with Christ. Now, so the law of the Spirit of the life has already freed you from everything that the law of sin and death had against you. You have been freed from that through the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. So you need to understand, you're always will be trying to attain what you already are. See, many people are always trying to get free. Preachers are always trying to treat each other. We're trying to get people free. People are free. They just don't know it. What they need to be is taught that they are free. See, Kenneth Hagin taught me that I was healed. And when I finally got a hold of that, I never tried to get healed again. I don't ever try to get healed. I was healed. I ain't trying to get healed. I have been freed through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. It has. It's not going to. See, you need to get your identity straightened out. You are the healed. When these people say, oh, I'm the healed of the Lord, that's become a cliche. You are the healed of the Lord. You are healed. Man, get that. Meditate till that becomes real to you, that you are. God wants you to know that, you know. God wants you to understand what you really, what you are. This is the package. This is the kingdom that you're in. There is no sickness in the kingdom of God. There is none. Are you in the kingdom or not? When the devil tries to throw something on your flesh, get tired of it, quit. Stop it. Bring it to a halt. Hold it, hold it! You know whose kingdom I belong to? It ain't yours, buddy. See, we're identified with too much, with the same way the world goes through things, trying to get stuff, trying to change, trying. See, if you identify with who you are, I mean, it helps immensely. It'll raise you to a level of faith that you never walked in before. That's one of the reasons why I think I took off in faith so much. It wasn't because I was great of anything. I heard the right teaching. I didn't listen to half these other squirrely guys. Listen to the right people telling me who I was. Listen to the right people telling me the right things. That's why God, you know, you learn to listen to the Spirit. God led me away from a lot of different ministers. Don't listen to them. You know what? It wasn't a matter that everything they teach is bad, but when I was a young Christian growing up, there was things that they were off on. If I'd have got into, I'd have ended up in a mess. So you want to learn to be led by the Spirit. He said, listen, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law was weak. So I don't want to go back over to that. I don't want to go back. The law was weak because of what? The flesh. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. What? That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us someday. That's right. We got it now, Mike said. He's right. Might be filled in us. What? He said, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now listen to what he goes on and say. Now he said, oh, well, yeah, where's it be if I walk? Listen to what he's going on. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want life and peace? Quit praying for it and change the way you think. The reason you don't have life and peace is because the way you think. See, this, I'm trying to change your thinking this morning. Who you really are, it'll bring you life and peace. If you're just identified with the world, you're identified with the problems you go through and how you get out of them, just like the world. Oh, we pray and ask God, you know, well, you know, I went down and had this done and the doctor says it's going to take me 10 weeks to get well. And so that's going to go tell everybody it's going to take me 10 weeks. But I've been praying and asking God, well, forget it. Just go down to the bar and have a drink and wait till your 10 weeks are up. Dear God. Why? They identify with the world. They don't identify with the kingdom that they're in. You've got to identify with your kingdom. Identify yourself of who you are, who you belong to, what kingdom that you're in. Your kingdom has wonderful benefits. Oh, Christians will stand up and fight over the Constitution. And yet they got the best kingdom in the world, don't know a thing about it. They don't take advantage. I mean, I want to take more advantage of this than the Constitution of the United States. See, we need to get over there. We're holding the Constitution to a wonderful, wonderful, glorious kingdom that'll just knock the socks off of you and bless it. And we know, and most Christianity doesn't know anything about it. They're identified more as an American, you know, and I know my rights. Do you know your rights in this one? You don't know your rights here. It don't matter much. That other one? Because they're taking rights, aren't they? My God changes not. He never takes a right. He blesses and blesses and blesses. He's not a double talker. He ain't none of that stuff. I can count on Him every time. He's going to be good. He's going to do what's right. He's always honest. He don't change. He ain't like men. He never lies. Hallelujah. I want to know about this guy. This is the guy I want to know. And what He's made you is into something glorious. Now listen. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity, or it's an enemy, we could use a term, against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. A carnal mind can't. Now listen to what he says. So then, those who are in the flesh can't please God. But now you've got to keep reading, because see, if you keep, just stop, you go along, here's what Christians go down through and they become condemned. He says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not His. You need to understand, the people in the world are not God's children. It just said it here. They are not His. You are His. They are not His. They are not. I don't care what they say. I don't care how mad they get at Ed for saying they ain't their kids. I don't care. They better figure that out, because they better accept that fact or they will end up in hell. We go preach a lie to make them feel good and help them go to hell feeling good. We need to tell them the truth. They don't. What does it say? Did it say there that you're just carnal? That's what you are. It said, but you are not in the... It said you're not in the flesh. Did you know that? You're not in the flesh. See, when he's talking about the flesh, he's talking to Christians. Or this whole thing has been about people being in the flesh. People being... You need to understand this. The world, unsaved people, cannot respond to God, because their only response to God is going to be through the flesh. Unregenerated man, their spirit unregenerated, they will live by the flesh. They will do what they do by the flesh. That's why all religions, you go around all the religions are all the flesh. You know, you go over and look, you go over and say people have witchcraft and stuff. And people get all, oh, witchcraft, oh, they're spiritual junk. It's not spiritual, it is carnal. They try, you know, potions and lotions and all kind of things to change spiritual things. They're trying to change spiritual things by physical means. You know, let's get some frog legs and some hair off of a bat and bam, let's do... And they make all their little things. You know, I was over into sorcery. Sorcery uses a lot of drugs and things like that to try to do things spiritually. Why they do? They're trying to take things from the natural. That's why you go over into religion. Well, you get your beads, and if you just pray this thing around, down through, or if you do the, and don't, I mean, you go over, you know, you get your prayer rug, you know, and people go to Israel, come back with their prayer rug, and oh, now we really got something spiritual going here. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know how to pray, you can get a stack of those rugs, crawl on them, probably fall off of it, break your neck, you will make it to heaven, but it's because you're an idiot. Now, see, you know, and I get a prayer shawl, and I get people doing it. Now, you need to understand all this stuff. People are doing, they're trying physical things to get over, to get God to respond to them. You don't have to do nothing to get God to respond to you. All she said, faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. When you respond to God by faith, that's all He wanted. He didn't want a prayer rug. He didn't want none of that stuff. He wasn't looking at any of that. See, you can't respond to God out of a carnal mind, out of men's approach to God, how men think they ought to approach God. God can only be approached spiritually. And faith is always spiritual. That's why people have a problem with it, because most people live carnally. Most Christians have been taught carnally. They've been taught to live carnally. See, I found out if I want to change my life, I can change it by responding to God on the spiritual side, begins to change things over in the natural realm. We can change things in the natural realm, but we change them by responding to things by faith, not responding to them, you know, with another, well, we come up with another ritual. Let's do it this way. Let's make it this way. You know, if you realize, there's very little things in the Scripture tells us to do from the standpoint. We have communion and stuff like that. It tells you to do things. But we ain't got enough. But I'll tell you what, the church and even Spirit-filled people, I mean, you know, let's get the flags and wave them. That's really going to all bear. I tell you, God gets excited when you wave the flag. I mean, He's up there in heaven going, woo, woo, woo! My God, they waved a flag. That was our worship. My God. You see, it's what people are trying to do. We have complicated it. You know what? I'll guarantee you those people that do that, they don't know who they are in God. They ain't got a clue. They ain't got a clue. They ain't got a clue what's going on. People don't know. They're trying to do something physical to get God to do something and don't know the whole time. All the wonderful, they don't know who they are. All God said, you just got to worship Me out of your heart. But you just showed up and you're just talking to Him and worship Him out of your heart. He was just happy. You didn't have to jump through hoops and do all kinds of things. And if you perform this great deed, you know, and that stuff, maybe, you know, hey, if waving a flag did, then we should all get the biggest flag we can. Maybe we can get a 100-by-100-foot one. That would really, and maybe God could see it from heaven because my small one wasn't quite big enough. He didn't notice. See, we got so much of religion, you know, coming in and religion, you know. You know, people, you know, going back to things of trying, you know, to use the dance, you know, and they go in and, you know, there's an interpretive dance. There's no such thing in the Bible as interpretive dance. You know, a girl puts on her nice little tight outfit so everybody can see every crack in her, and then she turns around, jumps around in front of the things, and she's worshiping God. That ain't worship to God. The Bible never shows to do it that way. It's not nowhere in the New Testament to do that. We worship in the Spirit. We don't worship by going around and jumping around in tight hearts. I don't know. They'd ever let the fat girl do it. I don't understand that. Hey, let's get straight. If it's God, it should be. Amen. I know it's fleshly by the way they do it. It ain't nothing but the flesh. And they're trying to do it. The only reason they do it is these people don't know, and the pastors don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. They don't know what they are. They don't know how to respond to God. Okay, get it out, folks. Come on. Get it. You don't want me to put the tights on. I'm just telling you. If we got to do it that way, I ain't worshiping no more. But you know, but see, here's the whole thing. People feel left out. They feel something's wrong. Why? Because they're being taught lies. They're being perpetrated lies to them. And so people, well, you know, I can't do those things. That you don't have to do those things. You can get a hold of God. God will move for you. And so we need to know that. You find out who you are and what you are. See, it's you can't respond to God in this carnal way. That carnality, it says, is an enemy of God. It's an enemy. Just think of that. Going to church and worship is an enemy of God. And it's going on. People are doing things and people are... Men's ideas of what we do. Men's ideas of what we do instead of coming over to the Bible. That's why you can worship God. You can worship God any time and any place you have. Anytime you want to. Your heart responding to God. You can respond to God. Hallelujah. You can get your prayers answered. You don't have to have some special. You don't have to have some special person pray for you. You don't need some special oil. Oh, we got this special anointed oil. You know, go put it on a salad. Leave me alone. You don't need some special oil. The oil doesn't heal. The oil doesn't deliver. It says the prayer of faith heals the sick. The Lord will raise them up. It says the Lord. It don't say oil raises them up. Hallelujah. You're a child of God. You're a child in the kingdom. You're in the Spirit. So you don't talk about yourself some other way. Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. He said, if the Spirit of Christ, well, is the Spirit of Christ in you? You know who the Spirit of Christ is? He's called the Holy Ghost. He's the Spirit of Christ. He's in you. You're in the Spirit. You need to understand this. The world cannot enter the Spirit without coming to the kingdom. The world ain't doing nothing spiritual. The world ain't doing anything spiritual. They can go through all their rituals of their religions, and they ain't doing a thing spiritual. They're being controlled by spirits. They are not doing anything spiritual. Why? They can't come in. If you want to be spiritual, God calls... The only thing that is spiritual to God is what's done in the kingdom. God doesn't consider anything else spiritual. Read the New Testament. You'll never find... You know, you go over and look, and Paul lists all these things, and he says these are works of the flesh. Witchcraft is a work of the flesh. Sorcery is a work of the flesh. The church calls it like it's spiritual. I remember in Lebanon, they had people were doing Satan worship, and all these churches were up in arms. Oh my God, they're out there saying. You'd think the world, see, they identified. The devil's bigger than the church, they're out here doing this. I said to people, what are you so rattled about? My God, just cast the devil out, dear Lord. You're scared of them. Because the church don't know who they are. They get so worried, they get so sidetracked on the thing. The devil throws a little flare up and, oh my God, we have to have a special prayer meeting because the devil did something. And they couldn't get God to do nothing to save their life because they don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. They think the devil's big. The devil, you know, the Lord spoke to me one time as I was just praying concerning the city of Lebanon. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, He said, I don't care how many demons are around the city of Lebanon. He said, if a human being doesn't respond to a demon, he can't do anything. My God, the devil shows up and the first thing the church does is respond to him, treats him like he's a god, starts praying about him like he's a god. What are we going to do? It's because they don't know who they are. See, God wants you to know who you are. See, He said, you are in what? You're in the Spirit if Christ, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. It says you're in the Spirit. Well, you walk around talking like you ain't in the Spirit. You can say what you want, but you're going to end up having. You're going to, now understand this, a Christian who doesn't respond to the truth is going to walk around living their life carnally and only enjoying what the world gets. Now, if we, after reading that, then it goes to verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Your spirit's life, your body is dead. See, we should treat our body as being dead. That was one of the greatest revelations I got when it came down to divine healing. You know why? Nothing affects a dead body. You can go up and shake it, do anything you want. You can slap it, don't do a thing. You're a dead body, ain't going to respond to you. See, we give so much... See, we're living in America. I mean, all we do is advertisements, the body. I mean, you just sometimes go online and see, and just watch your TV commercials. It's all geared toward, oh, this body. We're trying to focus so much on this body. This body, I mean, we're just trying to make it everything in the world, you know, and just, oh, this wonderful body. If we spend less time focused on our body and more over the Spirit, we wouldn't have near the problems with bodies that we got. We wouldn't near have the problems, you know. I mean, if Christians knew as much about the Bible as they know about health food, dear God, we wouldn't have half the disease in the church. They don't know nothing about the Bible. They're always worried about the health food. I'm going to tell you, find out about this book. I mean, this thing's real. It's true. You can sanctify your food. That's real stuff, folks. I learned to do it. I've been places you want to be able to sanctify your foods. You don't want to be. They've got the health food store. And I'll tell you what, we just had here the other day, some came up again and that stuff, and all these people were getting diseases from eating organic food again. You better know how to pray. You better know how to believe God. See, you can't go. This is why, if you know who you are, you don't live in a world of fear or danger. I'm not saying the world don't have fears and dangers, because a lot of things going on out there. But it don't have to overtake you if you know who you are. You don't have to worry about overtaking you. I'm not in this kingdom. We have answers to everyone. They say, I can sanctify my food. If there's anything wrong in there, it's going to do fine. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. I can set my... You know, God don't set your food apart for you. You do. You better learn to do it. You do. That's your order. You pray. You sanctify it. By your prayer, you sanctify it. You say whether it's good or not. That's why a lot of people can't eat a lot of things, because they say, this ain't good for me. But I know I shouldn't be eating it. But if you done said it ain't good for you, so you need something, you know, you need to get a brain between them ears besides that BB rolling around up there. Why would you talk so dumb? This ain't good for me. Dear God, what are you doing? You know? I know. I should. No, you listen to somebody that don't know a thing about nothing and you agreed with them. And then turn around. I'm going to curse myself here real good. I'm going to eat what I shouldn't. Oh, don't do that stuff. So he said, and if Christ is in you, he says the body is dead because of sin, but he said the spirit is life because of righteousness. Your spirit is life. So you're born again. Your spirit is what? Life. See, people keep trying to get life. You are life. Your spirit is life. The Holy Ghost, let's say it, your spirit plus the Holy Ghost. Is he short-circuited in there or something and he ain't life? You got the Holy Ghost. Now listen to what he goes on to say. Now after you read, see, this is why Romans 8, you really got to read it in its context. You don't understand what's going on. Then he says this. Now this isn't speaking to the Christian. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he said, you know, you're Christ. Christ, the spirit lives in you. He said, now this is, in other words, if this is true, he said, he who raised Christ from the dead, in other words, the Holy Ghost in you, will also what? Give life to the mortal body through the spirit who dwells in you. That's divine healing. Right there's divine healing. That's divine health right there. This body is dead to sin. This body is dead in sin. But because, see, I have a benefit. I'm a child of God. The world can't do this. The world can't have this. I got the Holy Ghost living inside of me who will make a mortal body. Is anybody here, you have an immortal body? Anybody here? At last, mine's as mortal as could be. I'll tell you, it's just mortal. But what does it say? The Holy Ghost. One of the Holy Ghost's jobs in you, Apostle Paul just said so, was to give life to your mortal body. That's his job. Do you think he's a liar? Do you think Paul lied about this? Do you think the Holy Ghost goes, I don't want to do that. So I ain't going to do that for Mike today. I ain't going to do that. I'm going to rest. I'm going to go sit down. I ain't going to do nothing for Mike. The Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Ghost in you will give life. And he's not talking about human natural life. He's talking about the life of God, because that's what you got. The Holy Ghost don't have anything else to give but the life of God. It's the life of God working in your body. See this, if you want to bring your body under control, people want to deal with habits, this is how you deal with them. You want to deal with stuff? Here's how you deal with it. You deal with it over in the realm of the Spirit. You start believing you're a different person. If you're identified as being a sinner, you're just going to, that road's going to eat you up. You're just going to stay over there. You become identified of who you are. And there's life working in, life of God. You think the life of God's going to work in your body and your body's just going to keep dominating and ruling you? Your body will become submissive. Man, I have areas where my body dominated and ruled me, where my body now is submissive. My body don't even fight me on something. You know, healing, my body don't even fight me on it anymore. There was time, man, my body fought me. My body was loud screaming. doing its thing. My body don't even fight. My body agrees with healing. And you know why? My body's learned how good it is. My body has learned it works. And it hasn't worked because Ed's a genius. It's the Holy Ghost in me. My body knows healing works. My body will cooperate with me on divine healing. It'll cooperate with you. It's like anything. You go over and rely on the Spirit instead of the natural. Everybody's geared toward the natural. God wants you to see who you are. You're not in the flesh. Why? You're a child of God. You're born again. You are born again. You are a child of God. The Spirit of Christ. You know, we could go on down and read to where we read before and those scriptures. And you put all this together, you see what it's saying. We as the church, who and what we are. We're called to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what God wants. God wants you to be led by the Spirit. But you have to think spiritually. You can't think carnally. You can't think like the world sees. You must remove your identification that you have on what you thought you are. And when you see what the Bible says you are, you must agree with it. You need to see. You're seated in heavenly places. That's your kingdom. The rights of that kingdom don't belong to you someday in the sweet by and by. Those rights of the kingdom are yours right now, here in this earth. The Holy Ghost is in you. He ain't comforting you through sickness and disease till you die. He's in you to bring healing and health to your body so you live. That's what He's in there for. He is giving life to the mortal body. I want Holy Ghost life in my flesh. Don't you?
Yes.
Well, start believing that's what it does. See, most people are waiting to feel an anointing or feel something. If I get a feeling, I feel God's here. Why? You know, I got goosebumps. Well, it could have been the air conditioning blowing down your back. No, it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes I can feel the power of God on me, but sometimes I don't feel a thing. And it does not matter. What the Word says about me is true, and I must act that out, whether I feel anything or not. That's walking by faith. When I'm acting on what the Word of God says, I am walking in the Spirit. See, people think walking in the Spirit is some woo. That's why I have these books about talking about getting in the Spirit. I just can't believe them. They ought to read the Bible sometime. They got a lot of doctrine in them that's been made up by men. I mean, did Paul lie when he said they were in the Spirit? He told the Roman church they were in the Spirit, they weren't in the flesh. Being all those Christians are told they're in the flesh all the time. You're in the flesh, you bugger, you. What's wrong with you? You're just in the flesh. We may do things in the flesh. I may do something in the flesh. I may act outside of what I really am, but it doesn't change who I really am. And see, it's what's important is I believe who, and I'll never change if I keep agreeing with the group that tells me I'm something else. God wants us a changed world. He can't change the world if He can't change the church. We're the image of the world. We're the image of Christ. Hallelujah. And you see yourself. Start talking about yourself and who you really are and what you really are. You know, there'll always be an ear and a voice, you know, talking in your ear, telling you, "Yo, who are you? You hypocrite! You did something wrong." You can either you have a choice to walk by faith or to listen to that and start agreeing to it. You have a choice. You can listen to people tell you things. You can listen to demons come and tell you, "Yeah, but I know what you did." See, it don't matter. The change is nothing. I am still a child of God. I may have messed up. I'm still a child of God. I'm still seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm still not in the flesh. I'm in the Spirit because Christ dwells in me. So you need to get over. That's how you overcome. You don't overcome by these people who tell you, well, you got to be, you know, we got to be honest. Anything this Bible says I am is honest. To say anything different is a lie. You got to start saying what this book says you are. Because it's true. That's who you are. And I will guarantee you, if you start seeing who you are, you start talking who you are, your life's going to change. When I started listening to Kenneth Hagin, man, first it was to me, it was like reading a Superman comic book. I thought, my God, is this stuff really real? Is it really true? But he kept saying, talking about it. I would just start to practice. I started to do it. It started to change my life. I didn't have to wait till New Year's to make a new resolution that I wasn't going to keep. The Holy Ghost, learning the Word of God helped me keep the Word of God. It helps you keep it. That's what he's in there for. It isn't, well, you just do your best shot you can. Good luck in the future. No, I'm going to tell you, God is working in you. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.